So Psalm 100 this morning. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. I think that includes people as well. Good morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. And it is he who made us and not we ourselves. What a concept. That it is God who made us and not we ourselves. That's kind of like the whole humanistic agenda right now, that we're going to make ourselves. But God is the one who made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. What are his gates? His gates are a place, an entrance into his presence, into his very throne room, his very glorious splendor. So let's prepare our hearts to come in with thanksgiving this morning and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Father, we just thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Lord God, you are, Lord, the one today that we come here for, Lord, to gather together, Lord, to worship you, to gather together, Lord, to lift your name. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for giving us a future and a hope. Thank you, Lord, for taking us, Lord, out of a dark and dreary place, Lord, in the kingdom of darkness, and bring us into your light, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, we just prepare our hearts right now, Lord, for this entire time that we're together. Lord, we pray that it would just not be a time, Lord, of a meeting, Lord, but it would be a time of meeting with you. Lord, that it would be a time of intimacy. Lord, that it would be a time of drawing closer to God as you draw close to us. Lord, let us move beyond the boundaries of our own mind's limitations. Move us, Lord, beyond our own understanding of what it means to be in you, what it means to be a child of God. Lord, take us into your very heart today. Your very thoughts for us, Lord, let those become, Lord, our thoughts today. Lord, we ask for the oneness that you have promised, Lord, to be revealed to us today in a greater and truer way. We thank you for this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, you can stand with me and we can worship together. You can remain seated. No.
This last week, I was having a conversation with a friend that lives out of town, and she was telling me how her and her husband went for a baby dedication at another church. And she said, when you walked in, she said, you would not believe it, Gay. She said, it almost felt like the people were drawing something. Like they were expecting something so big, so great, so wonderful, that they literally, their actions and their heart, it was just, she said, it was palatable. You could feel it. And I've been thinking about that all week long. And it's one thing to want something like, oh, Lord, I want you to touch me. But it's a whole nother thing to say, Lord, I expect you. I expect you to do something different in me today. And as I thought on that this week, I got this analogy of driving in a car. And I was in my very first car accident. I was in a school and I was trying to leave. And I couldn't leave because they said I didn't have a pass. And I was angry and I put it in reverse and I pushed the accelerator and I backed into another kid's car that was waiting behind me because I was so mad I didn't even see the kid. But I mean, my car went from zero to whatever it went to in really quick, you know, really fast. And it shook me up. But I got to thinking about the accelerator on my car, how if I push it a little, I'm going to go a little, but if I push it a lot, I'm going to go faster. Do you know what I mean? There has to be an expectancy as we come together, and not so much coming together to be together, though that's what we're doing corporately, but it's coming together for me to tap in to him and for me to expect something from him. We had dinner last night with some wonderful people, and they were expecting us. They made dinner for us. If you're expecting something, you get ready for it. Have you gotten ready today? Have you gotten ready today to have Jesus touch your heart? It doesn't matter who you're sitting by, who's in front, who's in back. None of that matters. Today you have an opportunity, and we don't know if it's our last opportunity or we'll get many more opportunities, but this has to be the true worship that we give now. So we're getting ready to go into this next song, and guys, it's one of my favorite, and I just really want all of you to be able to sing this with all your heart, because when you do sing it with all your heart, when you really truly just abandon yourself in him, he is going to come.
Singing with all your heart doesn't mean you have to absolutely use words. Singing with all your heart is engaging with the Lord with the words. So if you're saying, well, I can't sing that loud, don't worry about that. You can still, within your heart, make a melody to God and connect in such a way that is the loudest person in here may not. I just want to make that apparent, because for so long we thought you had to be, you know, the loudest clapper, the biggest jumper, the most exuberant individual was actually, and that's probably what they saw, was that exuberancy and felt that, but it doesn't have to be. It can be a still small moment with God, and you can connect with him in such a way that will transform your life. Thank you that no matter what seems to be going on in our life, as the song says, the waves and the wind know your name. No matter what circumstances, no matter what it appears on the surface, God, and no matter what even the report is or the future is with that report, God, there's a place to find it as well with our soul because of you. That we can find a refuge in you. We can find a place of security and strength in you. Lord, I pray for those today, God, that have had difficulties with their soul because of the circumstances. And Father, I release right now, Lord, a comfort. And I release right now, Lord, a revelation, a truth to them, God, that would come and help them see beyond the moment. To see you, Lord. To see you, Lord. The author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are our sufficiency. There's nothing outside of you, Lord. We can try, we can manufacture it, we can try with external sources, trying to create something in us that sustains us, Lord, but truly, without you, Lord, there is nothing to sustain us. So we just rejoice in that fact today, Lord, and we do. We say it is well with our soul. It is well with our souls here today, Lord, because you are greater than any circumstance. You're greater than any situation. You're greater than any moment that we're in. Because you hold every moment. Thank you, Lord. We just praise the name of Jesus. Right now, we praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. If you're comfortable with me, why don't you just take a moment, just thank Jesus, just praise his name. If you're comfortable, Father, we just thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we praise your name. We thank you that your name is above every other name. Lord, we thank you that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, Lord, to that name. Lord, we thank you, God, that no matter what other name tries to invade in our lives, that your name is above it. Lord, we praise the name of Jesus.
We exalt the name of Jesus. We lift your name high in this place, Lord. We give your name praise and adoration. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why don't you guys take a moment and greet each other. Just say hi. Give a high five. Or a pound, right? Well, praise the Lord. Oh, there he is right there. I'm like, where'd he go? Oh, you're giving your autograph? Oh. Well, since you're up here, that's good. So we've got a video. I went ahead and downloaded everything, so it's all queued up. So, yeah, that way you didn't have to be here right at the moment. I'll let you turn that on. Why don't you go ahead and just let them know what the video's about and why your heart wanted to do it. And it's interesting because it kind of goes along with the message today. So, oh yeah, Derek. Yep. Sorry.
Good morning, everybody. If you don't know my name is Derek Billy. I've been attending One Life Family Worship for about 2 years now and making it as much as I can. But it's nice to see some new faces in here. Welcome. And I hope that you connect with the Spirit, with the blessings and the whole environment. But today, I have a video that I would like to share with you guys. If some of you don't know, I like to make music on the side, and I like to glorify the Lord with it. I like to preach his word through it, and a lot of personal experiences, what he's done in my life, and a lot of it is kind of testimony, so you can kind of take from it. And there's a lot of things that we can all relate with in life, the struggles and things that we go through. However, this is mine, and it's a part of coming out of that shell and being unashamed of who I am, embracing my life in Christ and preaching the gospel. And I know that I've said it once before that everybody likes music in some form or way, whatever it may be, whatever genre it is. But for mine, I like rap, hip hop, so it's always been in my blood. And so I've turned that and I've used that in ways that more of the younger generation, and it's become a big trend now. Some people know it, some people don't, but I like to share this with you, and I hope it blesses you. It's surely blessed a lot of friends and family that it's nice because they get to see what it has done for my life, and I've seen a lot of things that are going on that I've reconnected with. I haven't been home. I'm from Arizona, so I haven't been home in a long time, so it's nice to stay connected, and they get to see glimpses of what I'm going through and when I make these videos and when I make these songs, and it all points to the Lord, and that's my whole point and idea of doing all this. And it's nice to have video footage because it gives them a vision, and it gives them that, it kind of makes them like you're there, you know, to experience with you. And so I hope this blesses you. I think that's it. Thank you.
To get up and say I'm a Christian. It's very easy to get up and say I believe the Bible from cover to cover. It's very easy to get up and say I'm an evangelical believer. I'm an orthodox, so I'm something else. But do you have it really in your heart? Have you really been born again? Are you a new creation in Christ Jesus? Have you said I'm willing to deny myself and take up the cross and go even to the cross with Christ, if that's what it means to be a born again believer and Christian? Christian. Christian.
Time I was reborn, not through my mother's womb, but in Christ's form. Raised in my tradition that brought me through the storm, striving daily to get me through that narrow door. Please take my pain, I don't want it anymore. So I dropped to my knees and prayed down on the floor. Head bowed, eyes closed, and spoke to the Lord, repenting for everything I was sorry for. Then I heard a voice, the kingdom rejoice, given the opportunity with freedom of choice.
It's okay, son, I understand how you feel.
I'm broken deep inside and I need to be healed.
First seek my kingdom and I promise to reveal, only those true of heart can surpass the pearly seal.
Wash my rags that are filthy and torn.
I promise you to stay, son, you are reborn.
Embracing my belief is the day that I receive. Spirit motivated me with a drive to proceed. Gifted by grace with the faith in the deeds. Epiphany, what a tangle weathered all your sinners weave. Practicing daily to see to the seed. Lied to myself saying I'm never gonna need. But here I am pleading down low on my knees. Head low, eyes closed, crying out, rescue me. It only took one crime for things to change. Reality set in now, everything is so strange. Checkmate, trap with no more moves to make. Bow before the king with all my regrets and my mistakes. Everything has been erased, now I take a stand. Fight for Yahweh's plan, I can say I'm convicted until the glass is out of sand. Rock a cross around my neck, though I stay walking with my clan. Who drum and feathers held high off the loom by my hand. Understanding, I vow to practice nevermore. They say turn the other cheek, but I stand ready for war. Thinking I was so fresh, but I was rotten to the core. My conscience is shaking, he don't let me ignore. Forever gracious, ever wise, I keep my eyes to the sky. There you are in the midst as I begin to ponder why. Your blessed are to me, so why do I feel denied? Consistently in darkness, surrounded by the blind. 7 years ago, caged in a 12x6. Found a book with answers, hit me like a ton of bricks. Filled with scriptures about conviction and grit. Finally made me face the past I never wanted to admit. This is a testimony of unrivaled faith. Built on a foundation I would never forsake. Rooted like the tree of life, my fruit the serpent couldn't shake. Top politicians in prison, this the net wasn't fake.
That's excellent, bro. Yeah. That's got some major tunes going on there, doesn't it? Did you do all that? Wow. Nice. Well, we have the opportunity for kids to go down. It's for Children's Church. And do kids want to go down? Yeah, they do. Okay, come on up. I'm going to pray for you, and we'll send you on down. Come on. It's okay. I don't bite that much. So. Hi, guys. Well, just extend your hand out. We're going to pray for them. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these kids. God, they're your kids, Lord. You've entrusted them with parents, Lord, but they're yours, Father. So we pray today, Lord, that they would receive in their hearts, Lord, that truth, God, that they are yours. Lord, that they're not alone at any time in their life. Lord, you're with them, Lord. They are yours. And we just bless them now, and we just ask that they would be able to receive today what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go with Pastor Gay. So that means all of the adults are stuck with just me this morning. So hopefully this will work out. I told Jesse, I said, Jesse, I may need you to do interpretation instead of Gay. All right. So of him, through him, and to him. So this is going to be, I was going to go over of him, through him, and to him this morning. So this is going to be like a little series. I don't know where it's going to go, so I know it's probably going to be at least three parts. But this is from the scripture in Romans 11:33-36, verse 36. So I'll read it here. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. For of him and through him and to him are all things. We'll go ahead and go to the actual verse. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. You're saying, Pastor Mike, I mean, that's very clear. I don't think we need much more. Well, what you're seeing is words on the surface. You're seeing words that your English language is translating, and you're getting a vision, or you're getting a picture of what this means. But there's great depth to this. And I believe it's one of the truths that is missing in the body of Christ, or missing in Christians' hearts, that help give them even a firmer foundation, even a more secure place in Christ. So let's go ahead and take a look here. So what I did is I thought, okay, I'm going to try to get some kind of illustration of really what's going on here, because I don't think just the words we always grasp. The only reason I started grasping these is because I had been going over sets of threes, because I see how God does things in threes. For instance, we are a triune being made in the image of God. We're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Three. Interesting, huh? God is a triune being. He is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three. I taught a few weeks ago on, I think it was righteousness, peace, and joy. Three. So as and maybe you guys will start to see that in the Word, how certain things will come up. Love, joy, peace. There's, I think that's the nine fruits of the Spirit, but you'll see they're kind of broken into threes. What's the faith, hope, and love at the end of 1 Corinthians 13? So we see these threes. And so when I came across this, when I was doing my Bible reading, and I had thought of this before, it leaped off the page. And so I said, okay, I've got to dive into this deeper. So I did. So if we look at him, who's him? Anybody got any idea? Who's him? Christ, God, all of the above, three, yes. So it says that of him, and we'll look at what that means, but I wish I had a laser pointer, but starting up the very top, coming around on that first curve, that's the of him, coming out of him. And then it says through him, so that's going through him. Now, I think this represents really well the Trinity, but I'll show you another diagram that I came up with after this, because I said I don't think it's communicating it enough here. So you go through him, and then because you've gone through him, you now go back to him. So do you guys see what that makes? Circle? A cycle? Do you guys see that? Okay. How about this one? There's him, meaning God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together. And it, from of him, coming out from him, going back through him, and then back to him. Does anybody see what that makes? That's the sign of infinity. I mean, the scripture is talking about the infinity-ness of God. I mean, that there's no end to him. He says that I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning, I am the end. It's not that he has a beginning. He is the beginning, and he is the end. And so of him and through him and to him are all things. What does that mean? That means everything that exists comes from him. From the very midst of him, everything that exists, whether good or bad, it comes from him. And then it goes through him, which I think this is interesting. I think we're going to need to really, really look at some scriptures when I do the part about through him to get revelation of that. And then back to him are all things. To him or whom be the glory forever. Amen. In other words, this brings him glory. This brings him glory that we realize that all things come from him. So are we all things? We are, aren't we? Is your next door neighbor all things? Yes. Is someone that doesn't know God all things? Yes. Even those that don't know God have come from him. That's why in Acts 18 it says that you are his children. And he was talking to a bunch of unbelievers at the time. He's saying, listen, you are children of God. We come from him. Now, how does this all play in our Christian walk? Because I think that's really where the rubber meets the road. So coming out of him, going through him, and back to him. So today we're going to talk about for of him. What does that mean? For of him. I mean, it seems on the surface very simple, doesn't it? But it's not, because it's the very depth of God, of who he is and where our source is. So let's look at this word of. Okay, now this is an interesting diagram. I'm not going to explain the whole thing. But in our Bible, we read English. But most likely, the majority of the Bible was at least the New Testament, was most likely written in what's called Greek. It's all Greek to me. Anybody heard that expression? Greek is a very interesting language. We have some similarities to Greek, but Greek words really have like more depth of meaning than our, unfortunately, simple English words. And it takes us taking a Greek word and having to translate it many, many different words. And so something like this word of ends up being put in the Bible, which really doesn't do this next word justice. It's the word ek. Now, if you look at this diagram, this is showing that the Greek word pros means toward, the Greek word ana means up, and these are all prepositions. That means that they're words that are used to describe nouns or adjectives. Not an English lesson, but just a little bit basics. So this word of, most of the time translated, really means from or out of. But it actually does, that doesn't even describe it. See how that line's coming out of that big circle? It literally means it comes from the very midst of the one that's being described with that word ek or ex. Does that make sense? Do I need translation yet, Jesse? Okay. You think I'm good. Yeah, wait till. Bless you, David. Have a good day. So let's look at this word. This is a preposition. In Thayer's, it says out of or from. We translate it sometimes by or of, but it's a primary preposition denoting origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds from. So it's talking about the source of where something comes from. From out of a place, time, or clause, literal or figurative. So helps word studies does help us a lot here. It says properly out, from, and to. So it's a not just a from, but it's a from and a to. So it's actually a pathway. So what it's saying is that, go all the way back here. Hang on. I don't want to miss that thought. For of him, for out of him, coming to us, coming to the all of creation is this starting point. It's saying that from the very midst of him, and then it goes on. Should have put that right there. For out from and to, or out from within. So the very in intersection of who he is where it's coming from, is one of the most under-translated and therefore mistranslated Greek prepositions. So most of the time this word's going to be mistranslated or trying to get it into English in our Bibles, often being confined to the meaning by, which, you know, I don't think by is the same from the midst of. Do you guys think? I mean, I think if I'm reading a book by an author, you know, it's like I'm reading something and I can say, yes, this individual authored it, but I don't get the idea that this came from the midst of him. In other words, it was from the very essence of his being. It has a two-layered meaning out from or to, which makes it an outcome-oriented, out of the depths of the source and extending to its impact on the object. Okay, so I'm laying down this groundwork. So when we get to a verse, we can say, oh, okay, I never saw it that way before. So look at this verse, for instance. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. So notice this word of, that is that word ek. So it's, and ek is kind of a X. I'll say X because it sounds better than ek. So is the Christ born of God. So what we're looking at here is this born out of the midst of God. Have you ever thought of that before? That we can say that, yeah, we're born again, and we think that, and this was my communication to Gay, and I think this is where we fall short as Christians. For some reason, when we think of our Christian faith, yes, we will communicate with God. We'll want God to help us in our lives. We'll want him to, you know, to guide and direct us. But somehow, some way, we get this idea of autonomy. We get this idea of being us kind of being separated. And yes, he'll come and help us, or he can see what's going on. He never does leave us, but we think we're on our own, and we miss the point that no, we've come from him. So being born again, when we first come to the earth, we've come from him, we're children of God, but we don't know him. We've come to a revelation of who he is. We come to a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and then we don't just come from him as a creation. We now come from him as a new creation, reborn. Right? Pure and reborn. We're now coming from the very midst of God's righteousness now. We're coming from the very midst of his new creation into us. And so, as you see that line, I'm going to go back here. Sorry, guys. I'm going to jump around a little bit. As you see that line, hello. I went a ways, didn't I? Did you see that line? It stays connected, right? We're not separated. It's not like God sends out our rebirth and then now we're just on our own. We're connected to him. He is our source at all times. We're not separated. That's why Jesus says, listen, I never leave you or forsake you. It's not that we have like, all of us have like Jesus walking around by us. No, we're so connected to him that he never leaves because we are a part of him and he's a part of us. Is this making sense? Or am I like, where's Gay when I need her, right? Because she would have a little illustration right now that would just like make everybody understand what I'm saying. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. And that's talking about Jesus, because Jesus was begotten of him. Okay, let's look at this this word here that might help a little bit. In your New Living Translation, it says, has become a child of God. That's a good translation. The LITV, or the literal translation, says, has been generated from God. Now that's getting a little bit closer. The Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, which I talked about last week, says this, and is now a born one, is a child from out of God. From out of God. So something from within God, when we receive Christ, has come out of God and is now in us and remains connected to us. We're not separated from God. That's why we can't be separated from his love, because it would mean that he would literally, like it says, be denying himself. Because as far as he's concerned, we are him. Anybody? Anybody awake? 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. So again, it's saying, for out of him, from the midst of him, now you are in Christ Jesus. So do you see, from of him, now we're moving into Christ Jesus, which now we walk our life through Christ. But I'm not getting into that today. For of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So all of those things, wisdom from God, righteousness from God, sanctification from God, redemption from God, which I don't have time to explain all those words right now, but they're all really good. righteousness means right standing, holy, accepted, being able to be fully qualified and justified, cleansed, pure, like you said, in pure reborn. That's what righteousness means. Sanctification means set apart. Set apart for holiness. Set apart from what you previously were. Now you're set apart for the work of God. And redemption means to be bought back. All of those things were of him. Were of God. None of them can we work out. None of them can we acquire ourselves. They're all from God. And when we're in Christ, we receive all of those. John 1:13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When you were talking about being reborn, a lot of Christians look at that, well, it's an experience. And I'm not going to act or live the same way I did before. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be changed. And so a lot of times, you know, when we don't see the results of that experience, say 2 months down the road or 2 years down the road or 10 years down the road, we get this feeling of, well, I must not be a Christian anymore. Because the experience I had then is definitely not the experience that I have now. Obviously, we can get to the place where we reject God and we don't want to have anything to do with him. But sometimes life just causes us to go down the wrong roads, and we end up doing things and being a certain type of way that isn't truly the desire in our heart. We didn't plan it that way. But we're not born of flesh and blood, or the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but we're born of God. So if we're born of God, even though we've come 10 years down the road, we may not look like we did when we had it all together, does not mean that we're still not born of God. That would be like saying you have a son or a daughter, and just because, you know, they say, I want to disown you, I don't want anything to do with you, you know, you're making me clean my room, you know, you know, you're making me whatever, you know, I don't want to be your kid anymore. And they leave. And what parent would truly say that that's not their child anymore? I mean, sometimes there may be ones out there who say, I disown them. But for the most part, the parent longs to have the child come back. Or at least have a relationship of some kind. Maybe not come back, but at least have a relationship of some kind. And they're always yours Even if you say you want to disown them, you can't disown them because they're yours. We're always his. So what's that mean? But of God, out of the midst of God. We have been born again, born from above, out of the very midst of God. And I think that we don't get that. I know most people don't. Because, I mean, if we really gave it some thought, what does that mean to be a child of God? The one who's created everything. I dare you this week to start thinking about that a little bit. That I am a child of God. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I am his heir. I am of his lineage. I am of now his inheritance. When you start thinking about those things, and then you start thinking about the unlimited resources that are his, those unlimited resources are ours. But they're not going to be ours if we're thinking, again, that we're separated or that we're here just trying to get by. Once we get the idea that we are truly connected and that we have come from him, then it's a lot easier to receive what's already waiting for us. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. From God, from the midst of God. Where does the righteousness come from? It's not an exterior source that we receive. It's from the very center of who we are because we've come from God. His righteousness comes with it. Guess what comes too? His peace, his love, his joy, his faithfulness, his truth. All of those things that we desire as believers have already come because we have come from the midst of God. And everything that he had, we have. You name one thing you're lacking in your life, it's an illusion because you're not lacking it. It is nothing more than an illusion. Saying, well, I can't sleep at night, because I just keep tossing and turning. I just keep thinking about all the circumstances that are going on. And, I can't think straight most of the time because they just plague me. It's an illusion. Because peace is inside of you. The author of peace is connected to you. So what's happening? The focus has changed. The focus from the peace that he has to the disasters that are all around. Does that make sense? Did that make sense, Jesse? You don't need to interpret? Okay, good. Yeah, do I need to interpret that? Is this making sense or am I just like... It's making sense? Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Remember when that one verse said today, it's not like he has created us, not we ourselves. I mean, that's like a big duh. But the problem is that a lot of people think that we're creating our own reality. We think we're creating our own lives. And people go about it and they do that. And they run and they chase after stuff, trying to make a life for themselves. When really, he is the source of life. So Paul's saying, listen, I don't have anything of any of my own sufficiency. It doesn't come from me. But our sufficiency is from the midst of God. The very center of God is where we get what we need. You know, sometimes when I'm praying for our meal, I say, Lord, I thank you that you are the source of this food. Now, I'm sure my children at times thought, well, that's not true. So we got this down at the supermarket. And mom just cooked this. You know, God didn't cook this. But he is the one that even allowed the food to be in existence. If you want to get to the brass, the molecules of that food are being held together because of him. Oh, I don't want to get into that. That's probably next week. But it says in him all things consist. I mean, he is the reason that you can sit in that chair without falling on the floor. He holds it together. It's not the construction that holds it together. That's just man's manipulation of those cellular structure there. That's being held together by God. We're not flying off this planet into the, you know, the star systems, because he's the one that's established. So we have gravity. You say, well, no, we have gravity because the earth is spinning. And it's spinning because of him. So listen, Jonathan Mitchell says this, is forth from out of the midst of having its source in God. But our sufficiency is from the source of God, the very source of God. In other words, anything that we have need of comes from God. And if we would just, see, we don't have to beg. That's part of the whole situation of believing that we should have received it and we shall have it. Most of us think that it's going to take the right prayer meeting, the right fasting time, that it's all of this stuff that we have to go through to receive what we need from God. But we've already received it because we've already received him. We've already received everything that is all the resources of heaven dwell within us. See, why do you think Jesus did everything he did? Because he knew that he had been connected to the source. He never left it. That's where he messed up Nicodemus. He said, listen, and I'm there right now with him. Nicodemus, what? You're here talking to me. No, I'm also there right now. We're seated in heavenly places. I mean, if we just started to get just a little bit of what kind of amazing creations we are now. I mean, in the future, yes, we're going to say, yeah, we'll go and be in glory and everything will be amazing and, you know, no tears, no pain. But we can live, it says, from the age to come now in Hebrews. It's not just in the by and by. If he's our source, if something's come from the very midst of him. Philippians 3:9. Yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. The Father from whom, that means proceeding from him, are all things, everything. It's just reestablishing again that all things are of him. There's not one thing that exists. Yes. I don't know. Yeah, I probably forgot to put another verse there. Thank you. Get that. Check that out. I thought I read Philippians 3:9, but you know, it says it, so. What verse is it? Okay, come on, guys. All you with your electronic Bibles. Did you find it, Tanya? I think that's the New King James, just so that you don't go looking and... Is it Corinthians? I think it might be Corinthians. Huh? That's it. This is 1 Corinthians 8:6, right? Yes, okay. I forgot to put the label. See, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to show up and, you know, it'll work out. So 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom, or from the midst of whom, are all things. And we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. So this is a tongue twister, but this is reestablishing the fact that things come from him, go through Christ, and then end up going back to him. Now, let me tell you, where this has really come into my heart, and I think this is the last verse, yeah. Where this has really come into my heart is the whole idea of intimacy with God, of knowing God, of having an experiential relationship with God, not just a mind relationship with God, but an experiential relationship with God. First of all, realizing that I've already come from him and that now in Christ, I live my life through Christ. And I'm not just going to go back to him someday. through Christ, the door. He says, I'm the gate. I'm the door. That I have a relationship with now with him, to him. And so he's come into me through my acceptance, receiving of his residency when I received Christ. And then as walking through this life in Christ, I walk through Christ and I'm moving back to him. So how does this help? I don't know. Don't, I'm just trying to, because I could tell some of you, what? Let's put it this way. The Bible says that we've come to Mount Zion. You heard that song, right? We have come to Mount Zion. Okay, so that is saying we have come. What does that mean? We're already there. That's what Hebrews 12 says. We're already there. We're already at Mount Zion. It's like, really, Pastor Mike? Yes, we really are. This is, again, part of being from the source, but also back to the source now, being seated in heavenly places. We're connected here out of the of him. We're living here through him, and we're there now to him, seated in heavenly places. So you have multiple existence. You just have to believe me. And part of the reason is that our natural mind is really like fires wrong with spiritual things. It does. It just like it misfires. And the concept of the true spiritual life seems like foolishness to our natural mind. Anybody else agree? Anyone else agree? Just me, double hand on this one. Because it seems like foolishness to my natural mind. But by the Spirit, it can be received. So that you in Mount Zion, with all the angels, all the rejoicing that's going on, knows things of God by the Spirit, because your spirit is connected with his spirit. Says he is with the Lord, is one spirit with him. And are we not connected with the Lord? We are. We're one spirit with him. We're not Holy Spirit and our spirit just like our, you know, like this. They're like this, connected. So if we're going to have a real experiential relationship with God, not just, you know, read his word, not just pray, not just, you know, see him answer prayers, all that's good. But if we're going to have a experiential life that where we see him face to face, we know him as he is fully known us, well, that's in the future. It can be in just the future if you want it. Or you can know him now as he also desires us to know him then. You can skip a step. You don't have to die to see him, because you're already in him. Right? Yes, he says, right. This would be where Gay would, again, have something really nice and good to say. And I go, oh, that's good, you know. Let's just stand. Hopefully, we'll put all three messages together and we'll be less confused. No, not confused. We'll be more clear on what God's trying to tell us. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we have come from you. And Lord, even though our natural mind does not really even grasp that, Lord, I pray right now that by the Spirit, you would plant that in our hearts. Plant a seed, Lord, in our hearts today, God, that will grow. Lord, that we are from you. Not just from your place, not just from heaven, not just from someplace in the heavens, Lord, but we've come from the very existence of who you are. That we are not just here separated from you and waiting to be connected back, Lord, but we're connected to you right now from that midst of you. Lord, let the reality, Lord, of what it means to be of Christ, of God, from God, Lord, let it become real in our hearts. Let the truth, God, that can make us free come to our hearts today. We thank you, Jesus, that you're working
Lord, right now in our hearts, so that we can know the source of where we've come from. We can know the resources that are from that source. And we can live, Lord, a life, God, that's empowered from that source. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So does anyone have anything else they want to add or share or clarify? Input. Anyone? Come on. Okay, Benny.
Well, what you were saying about how sometimes our mind backfires, and I was just this week, my sister got beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was communicating this, I was so upset. And then as I was listening to her, I was crying too. But then my brain would just like immediately, like if I was there and I was beating the guy, you know, like how could you do that to my sister, you know? And then I was telling her, you know, that we're going to forgive this guy. It was not easy, but what he did to you, but, you know, God was there. Many things could have happened, and, you know, you're still alive. Mommy's fine. It would have been different if he would have gotten into my mom. So God was there, but it's like the Lord took me so fast into the story of, I think it was one of Jacob's sons, when the sister is raped, you know, and I could imagine her, who? David?
No. Are you talking about, yeah, one of Jacob's
sons. One of Jacob's, I think, sons. The sister was raped. And then it's like he didn't think, you know. He was just like, probably, you know, the sister was like crying, like, brother, you know, what this happened to me. And he was just full of anger. And then in the midst of this anger, he did what was wrong. He went and sinned against the people of Israel, doing wrong. Like, you know, they end up killing all these guys and doing the circumcision. And anyways, and then I thought, God, you know, I'm sorry. You know, it's so easy to be led by emotions, Hannah, mm-hmm. but what you said. You know, if I'm led by my emotions and things, even if I was there, things could have gotten way worse if I have, you know, done things or, I don't know. And then I asked forgiveness. I'm like, God, I just blessed that man. And I pray with my sister, and then we were just thankful, you know, that, you know, things happen for a reason and God is in charge. But I was just praying, and like, Lord, just I need your help to, you know, just to whatever happens, just not be led by emotions. But what is what you would do? Because, yeah, it can backfire, mm-hmm. and things could go, you cannot, just in a moment of anger, you could do things without reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what God wants. And then I was kind of seeing what God did also. You know, they were beating him. They were, like, doing so many things. And, you know, if he would have turned and just finished them all, we wouldn't be here. So I'm like, wow, God. Well, it just... So I don't know. I just want to encourage you also to whatever happens in your life, just to not be led by emotions, because that's not how God wants us to react, even though it could be really hard if you see a dear loved one, you know, being, you know, probably beaten in front of you or whatever, you know. It's hard, but he is good, and he will lead you, you know, what he wants you to do. And then it was, you know, he was totally there. You know, the taxi that later picked them up. The first thing that he asked my sister, "Miss, did you pray when you went out?" She's like, "No." That would have also been totally different, you know. We need to commit our day to him and just surrender and just, you know, he promises that he will protect us and keep us. But if we are also out of his covering, there's not much he can do. But yet, you know, he was there.
Amen. Amen. The Lord's goodness. And what the enemy's meant for evil here, God can use and turn to good. Amen. Anyone else?
I just kind of was listening when Pastor Mike was preaching about worrying and how we can, you know, it can overcome us and, you know, it can turn our nights sleepless because we worry so much. And this whole week, last week I had been feeling really sick and just different things going on with my body. And I know my body, so I know, you know, the first thing, you know, sometimes I think, my mom was such, she is a, you know, really big worrier, and I'm like, I just get it from her, you know, like, I worry about every little thing. And so I started, we had called to make an appointment for next week for me to get checked out, and I started looking on the internet for, you know, what was wrong with me by myself, you know, WebMD or the Mayo Clinic, you know, all these things. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm dying, like, you know, this is what's wrong. I was, you know, trying to figure it out on my own, and I have been reading, you know, the Bible every night. I have different plans that I read, and a lot of them are like, stop worrying, you know. And one thing that really stuck to me was that one of the, I can't remember which one I was reading, but he said, you know, we have two thieves, you know, with us. On the right is tomorrow, and on the left is our past, you know. And we can't hold on to those because we can't do anything about our past and we can't worry about tomorrow. We have enough stuff to, you know, that we go out throughout the day. And I just want to thank God because I had been praying, and that's the only thing that would help me sleep at night was reading God's word and praying and saying, Lord, you know, these thoughts that we have are the enemy just comes to our mind and just wants to just destroy us with these thoughts that we have that, you know, we have no control over. But we do have control over our thoughts. And God is good because he still cares about us, and he cares that, you know, I'm such a big worrier and I'm a big whiner, and I called the doctor on Wednesday and I'm like, I need to get seen today, like, what's going on, you know? And they're like, okay, go ahead and come in. And so I'm like, I'm dying, I'm like, I have a blood clot, I know I do. And he's like, okay, we'll do an EKG, you know, don't worry about it. Like, and my doctor is a Christian doctor. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I've been looking up stuff. And Moses was with me, like, why are you looking up, you know, MMD? And so I just want to thank God because he's like, you know, we're going to set your worries. You know, we're going to go ahead and settle them. And we'll do an EKG on you because I really was having really bad, you know, like heart pains and just different things. And I want to thank God because he also sent me to do some lab work. And he's like, I'll call you tonight if anything's wrong with him, so you'll find out tonight. You know, don't worry. You know, you'll know. I'll, you know, give me your phone number and I'll call you. And he's like, but if I don't call you, that means everything's fine. And he's like, but if you want to call me, then, you know, because I know you're a worrier. And so I did it. I didn't call him because I'm like, I'm not going to. I'm putting my trust in God. And I know that God knows, you know, every part of our body. He knows how to, you know, there's nothing impossible for him. And I want to thank God because the next day they called me from the doctors and like, your lab works came out perfect. Everything is fine. You, there's nothing wrong
with
you.
Praise the Lord.
And, you know, it started, and it just like Pastor was saying, it's all in the mind. Like, I mean, I thought I was sick, so my whole body was just like acting weird because in my mind I was thinking I was sick. And I thank God because I was able to, I mean, not only because I had gone to the doctors, but because even at night, like that's when you know, there's nobody around you. It's you and your thoughts. And I thank God because I was able to just pray over myself and just say, God, you know, you have full control over me and you have full control over my thoughts. And the only way to do that is by reading his word and praying. I mean, you're not just going to be like, okay, you know, like, and then not looking at, you know, WebMD or any of that stuff because that can just get to you. But I want to thank God because, you know, everything was cleared and, you know, he cares about every little thing, you know, about us. There's nothing that you know, is impossible for him, and he just cares so much that, you know, even, you know, and I ask God to forgive me for having to go in sooner. You know, I'm like, God, I didn't, you know, I couldn't wait till tomorrow. I'm like, I can't bear having bad news on Halloween. There's no way. And so I just want to thank God because he cares about us, and we know that he does, and we know that all we have to do is just pray and just trust him. You know, trust is a big thing that God wants for us, and he wants us to just fully have, you know, our trust in him and just rely on him. You know, this world is going chaotic, you know, our left and right. It's just, there's nothing good in this world, and I want to thank God because I know that God has us here for a reason. He has me here for a reason, and I know that, you know, there's good things that are going to come from, you know, being faithful and, you know, staying where we're at right now and just trusting in God and not just moving because everybody else moves, you know. And I just want to thank God for that.
Amen. That's good. It's really good. You have something, Jess? You're just smiling? That's good to see a smile. Well, praise the Lord. Well, you guys have a great day. And realize again that you are not on your own. You were never alone, Gina. He was always there in you, working through you. But sometimes it's easy to forget that simple truth. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.